Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, we hope you enjoy this repeat broadcast.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Last week, we began looking at a book titled This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology. It is written by a Brigham Young University professor by the name of Charles R. Harrell. It's published by Greg Cofford Books, that's K-O-F-F-O-R-D, and was published in 2011. Now, some might be questioning, Bill, haven't you said many times that we should not take the words of a Brigham Young University professor, especially if they contradict the words of general authorities in the Mormon Church? And yeah, that's basically true. But the reason why we felt to go through some of the things that Mr. Harrell brings up in this book is to show that not everybody seems to agree with statements that have been made by the general authorities in the past, and sometimes that you could say that when they do disagree, they tend to get it right, showing that the leaders have made mistakes over the past years and have been misleading the Mormon people when it comes to the doctrine that they think the Bible supports. What we found fascinating in Mr. Harrell's book is the fact that he shows that a lot of the conclusions that Mormon leaders have made over the years, and many of those conclusions we as individuals here on the streets and in emails that we receive from Latter-day Saints, are inaccurate. Now, if they are inaccurate, should a Mormon, if they really love truth, shouldn't they want to know this? Because we often ask the question, at least I do when I'm talking with Mormons on the street, I'll say, look, if there was a slight possibility that you could be wrong, would you want to know? And I would hope that if the Latter-day Saint is a truth-loving person, they would say, yes, I would want to know. Well, we're offering some of the explanations that Mr. Harrell gives in his book, This Is My Doctrine, in response to some of the things that have been said by Mormons in the past.
And we're not even saying that Charles Harrell is an expert in everything in the Bible or in religion. He's not even in the religion department at BYU. But the information that he puts forth in this book, I think, is worthy of being studied, because while we don't agree on everything that he says, there are many things that he does say, as you mentioned before, that we would say makes logical sense. And he's accurate on many things, to the disagreement of LDS leaders and many of the apologists. So this is a conundrum for many LDS apologists, this book, because he says some things in there that seems to take away some of the ammunition that is regularly used by Mormons in conversations with Christians.
What I liked in some of the things that Mr. Harrell says is it does tend to prove that it is quite possible that Mormon leaders can, in fact, lead their people astray by misinterpreting what Bible verses are really saying. If that's the case, a Mormon can't fall back on that. Well, God will never allow the prophet of the church to lead his church astray. Well, sorry, folks, but many times they have done exactly that. And I think this book, though it probably was not the original intention of Mr. Harrell when he wrote the book, in our opinion, it certainly seems to do that. In fact, we cited this book several times in our new edition of Mormonism 101 just to show that there is a disagreement within the Mormon ranks. But let's look today at the accuracy of the Bible, because this is an issue that we often hear when talking with Latter-day Saints. You try to bring up something that the Bible says, and it's not uncommon for a Latter-day Saint to respond by saying, well, how do you know that verse is translated correctly? How do you know that that verse was transmitted correctly? And that's really the issue here, because when you go to Article 8 in the Articles of Faith, it says very clearly, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. And we have said many times on this show that that wording is unfortunate, because it's misleading. The Mormon Church has never really tried to make an argument that the Bible has been mistranslated. The argument that they have tried to make over the years is that it was not transmitted accurately, that when it was hand-copied by scribes, they made mistakes, either unintentionally or intentionally, meaning that the Bible that we have today, though it may be a good translation, it may at best be a good translation of a bad transmission. It was not transmitted properly. And so if it's a good translation of a bad transmission, they would argue it shouldn't be trusted. This is why we need Latter-day Prophets to guide us.
And also they'll point to issues such as four books of Corinthians. We know that there were four letters written to the Corinthians. We only have two of them. And so they ask the question, how do we know that we have all of the books? Which is interesting to me because, well, if you go to the Book of Mormon, two-thirds of it was sealed. And even the part that was translated by Joseph Smith, some of those pages were taken by Martin Harris and never were found again. So we're missing parts out of the Book of Mormon just as much as you could say that we're missing parts out of the Bible. And we as Christians would say that because they were not kept by the early church, they obviously were not considered to be scripture in the early days. But the books that were kept are the books that we do need to have.
Now, let's start off with some of the statements that have been made by Mormon leaders in the past, just to bolster our argument and why we need to address this. And you would probably, as a Christian listening to us, you're going to eventually need to address this, because I'm sure if you talk to a Mormon for any amount of time, this will probably come up in the conversation. One of the most harsh criticisms of our Bible today, or I should probably say the Bible of the 19th century, because that's when this statement was made, is one by Orson Pratt. This comes out of the Divine Authenticity of the Book of Mormon, number 3. It's dated December 1st, 1850. And Pratt makes some really harsh comments that if you believe Pratt, you might ask yourself, why should I at all trust the Bible?
And actually, I have given the entire quote in a manuscript that's a PDF format. And if anybody would like to get that, you can just go onto our website and make a donation of any size. On the right-hand side, just click the donate button through PayPal, and then put radio in a memo, and we will send you a copy of all of the notes for this series, This Is My Doctrine. So this is a part of the quote that we have on there, and Pratt said this, and he's referring to the books of the Bible. What few have come down to our day have been mutilated, changed, and corrupted in such a shameful manner that no two manuscripts agree. Verses and even whole chapters have been added by unknown persons, and even we do not know the authors of some whole books, and we are not certain that all those which we do know were written by inspiration. Add all this imperfection to the uncertainty of the translation, and who in his right mind could for one moment suppose the Bible in its present form to be a perfect guide? Who knows that even one verse of the Bible has escaped pollution so as to convey the same sense now that it did in the original?
And I would say to Orson Pratt, touche, he got both of them in there. He not only attacked the transmission, but he also attacked the translation. He did a full package in this statement. If what Orson Pratt is saying here is true, why in the world would any Latter-day Saint give any validity to any verse in our Bible today? You can understand why a lot of Latter-day Saints are gun-shy when it comes to Christians quoting the Bible all the time. They need to be convinced that it's trustworthy.
And that's not the only quote we can go to, Bill, because modern leaders have said similar kinds of things, maybe not as harsh. But listen to what Apostle Bruce R. McConkie in The Millennial Messiah on page 160 says, "The Bible bears true witness of God in his gospel as far as it is translated correctly." There's your Article 8. "Many plain and precious things have been deleted, however, and the Book of Mormon is the means provided by divine wisdom to pour forth the gospel word as it was given in perfection to the ancients. It has come to preserve and sustain the Bible, not to destroy or dilute its message."
Now, certainly we would argue with Bruce McConkie's conclusion on that. We do feel that the Book of Mormon in some areas certainly does come to dilute its message. However, because it was written very early in the time period of the Mormon movement, there are a lot of things that the Book of Mormon teaches that I think a lot of Mormons today would have difficulty defending, because a lot of things that Joseph Smith taught later on towards the time of his death in 1844 certainly cannot be supported by what the Book of Mormon says. Now, we also have a statement that was found in the Church News on June 20th, 1992. It was an article titled, "Letter Reaffirms Use of King James Version of Bible." That's the title of it. It was found on page 3 in the Church News.
And this is from the First Presidency. This, at the time in 1992, was Ezra Taft Benson, Gordon B. Hinckley, and Thomas Monson. And it said, "The Bible, as it has been transmitted over the centuries, has suffered the loss of many plain and precious parts."
Now, here's where they get it right. They use the word transmitted, and we would argue that that's probably the word that should have been used in Article 8. But then we also have a statement by Mormon Apostle Neil Maxwell in an Ensign magazine titled "The Wondrous Restoration." This came out in April of 2003 on page 35.
It says, "By faulty transmission, many plain and precious things were taken away or kept back from reaching what later composed our precious Holy Bible."
Now let's look at what Charles Harrell says on page 97.
He writes this, "Aside from the countless minor scribal errors, scholars maintain that, in general, the Bible has been transmitted and translated remarkably well." BYU religion professor Stephen Robinson notes that, quote, "informed Latter-day Saints are in general agreement that since the time of its completion in the late 2nd or 3rd century, the Bible has been preserved with reasonably high fidelity and the texts are essentially correct in their present form," end quote.
Now, this statement is interesting because it shows that Mormon scholars apparently do not really agree with a lot of what we're hearing from lay members in the Mormon Church. A lay member can easily go to Article 8, draw a wrong conclusion, and not know why, other than that's what their scripture tells them. But yet the scholars in the church, who are compelled to do a little more digging in the historical aspects of how our Bible came to be, notice they don't seem to draw that same type of conclusion. And so this is why we feel it's important that when you're talking to your LDS friend, that you take some time to explain to them how our Bible came to be. And Christian, this is going to take a little study on your part if you're unfamiliar with this, but I'll tell you something. It is not only essential, it's very beneficial in the course of your conversation once you can show a Latter-day Saint that our Bible is worth believing. There are reasons why, as Christians, we do trust its accuracy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save His people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.